My name is Kirsten, for those of you who don't know me yet. It is a beautiful, beautiful long weekend Sunday, amen? The crispiness in the air this morning, the sun is shining. I know some people are sad about summer ending, but this is the best season. It's about to start. So I'm excited this morning, and I'm finishing up our summer series on metaphors, so it's perfect. My favorite season's about to start. I get to close up our series for summer. It's gonna be awesome. So for the last month, we've been going through different metaphors in the Bible. We've been breaking them down. We've been applying them to our lives today. And a metaphor can be really helpful in explaining things, especially if there's something that's a little harder to grasp, maybe a little bit confusing for us. They can help explain things in a fresh way, maybe give it some new perspective. And we see that the metaphors in Scripture are really an invitation to come nearer to Jesus. We've looked at the potter and the clay, fragrance, the bride of Christ, athletes, and today we are taking a look at the foundation. Now I have a question for you. Who here is in construction? What, two people? That's it? That's not what I was expecting this morning. Three people? Awesome. Have any of you built a house? Kind of. Okay. I have not built a house. Surprise. My parents built their house, but I was like three or four, so I really don't remember anything. But what I do know about building a house is that the foundation is the most important part. I grew up in Victoria, so I grew up knowing that earthquakes happen often and that they tend to shake foundations. And so we would drive around Victoria, and whenever we would see a house that was built in a very precarious place, we would all look at each other and go, "That thing's coming down in the next earthquake." And you would be shocked at how many buildings on the island are built like that. My favorite one is the Empress Hotel in downtown Victoria, if you know anything about it. See, when they started building the hotel in 1904, obviously they did not have the type of technology that we have today to be able to survey the land and build properly. They thought that they did what they needed to do, but they didn't do a great job of digging down for the foundation. They thought they did what was needed, knowing that they were building on top of mudflats. But within the first 10 years of its construction, the Empress sunk 4 feet into the ground, and it continues to sink little by little every year. I think it's important what you build the foundation on. So this morning, we are going to be reading out of Luke chapter 6. And Jesus is finishing up one of his bigger sermons, teaching on what it means to be a disciple of him, to be someone who follows the ways of Jesus. So Jesus has just finished teaching things like loving our enemies, not judging others, what it looks like to produce good fruit in our lives. And then we get to verse 46, and it says, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." Chances are, if you have been around church for a while, you've heard a message preached on this passage before. Often the message goes something like, the wise man who built his house on the rock is like the person who hears the gospel and chooses to give their life to Jesus. And the foolish man is like the person who hears the gospel and chooses not to follow Jesus. And this is a great message, and it is absolutely a valid interpretation of this scripture. But I want us to dig a little deeper into the context in which Jesus is saying this. I want us to look at what this means for us today as the church, because I believe as followers of Jesus, we can still fall on either side of this illustration. Have you ever experienced a moment where a friend or a family member, maybe your kid, comes to you with a problem? They ask you for your advice. They say something about how wise you are, how much they trust you. And so you tell them exactly what they should do in the situation that they are in. So they thank you for your advice and your wisdom, and they turn around and they do the exact opposite Amen. Of what you have just told them to do.
Amen.
In verse 46, we see Jesus talking to those who are around him. He says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" See, the people had been following Jesus, calling him Lord, saying that he had some sort of authority in their life, but when he wasn't around, they didn't listen or follow through on what he had been teaching. Jesus here is calling them out. He's saying, "Why do you profess that I have a significant place in your life, but you don't listen as if I do?" He's saying it's not merely enough to hear his words and call him Lord. It's not enough to just say, "Yeah, I believe in God," and then leave it at that. We must also obey what he teaches us to do. And then he gives us the example of two builders. One is wise and one is foolish. Here we see that the wise builder has built his house on a firm foundation. He's taken the time to dig deep. He found the rock that would stabilize his house. He did all of the proper work to lay a foundation that would last. Jesus says that this builder is like the person who comes to him, hears what he's been teaching, and proceeds to do what he has heard be taught. He takes it and he lives it out in his day-to-day life. Then we see the foolish builder. He builds his house on no foundation. The version of the story found in the book of Matthew says that he built his house on the sand. He found a place that looked good from the outside, probably had a nice ocean view. But he didn't dig down. He didn't put in any of the work to lay a foundation. He just started building. He decided to do things his own way. And Jesus says that this builder is like the person who comes to follow Jesus, hears what he is teaching, and then disregards everything that he's heard. This is the person who decides that they know better, that things will be better if they do it their own way. And then the storms came. The winds picked up, the floodwaters began to rise and rush in. The first house with the foundation on the rock stayed standing, and the one on the sand collapsed. It crumbled under the weight of the storm. Now here's the thing. Both the wise builder and the foolish builder were building homes. Both were building their life. Both men had heard the teachings of Jesus. Both experienced the storms of life coming at them when they least expected it. The difference wasn't that one had a house and one didn't. The difference wasn't that one had met Jesus and one hadn't. Jesus tells us that the difference between standing firm through the trials of life and crumbling under the pressure was the foundation that they had built on. The foundation makes all the difference. Have you ever noticed that when a building project starts, the part that takes the longest is the part that will never be seen again? The part that takes the most time, the most effort, the most planning, the most work is the foundation, because the foundation is responsible to hold the weight of the building and everything in it. I remember driving past an empty lot for years, wondering what they were going to do with it. After a few years, there was finally movement. The trucks were going in and out of the site. They started to build up the ground with rocks. Eventually, it was just giant mounds of rocks everywhere, and I was like a little bit confused. And then nothing happened for months. And I remember being so confused until finally someone explained to me that they were actually still working. What they were doing is they had built up the weight that the building was going to be to see what the ground would do underneath the weight. Then, when they saw what was going to happen, they would be able to plan accordingly for the foundation. So they trucked out all the rocks again, they dug down deep, they laid the rebar and the concrete. Do I sound like I know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But the foundation is responsible for the load distribution of the building to make sure that the weight is evenly spread across the ground. This helps it not sink, like the Empress. It helps to keep the structure stable so that the walls don't crack. The foundation is a barrier against environmental factors like heat and cold and soil and moisture. It keeps out the water and the frost. It keeps the ground from shifting. A strong foundation is the most critical part of any building because it's responsible to hold everything up. We see this metaphor and versions of it all throughout Scripture. We're to build our house on the rock, not the sand. Jesus said he would build his church on the rock. Christ is the cornerstone of our faith, our lives, the church. We are living stones God uses to build his kingdom. And I think that we see this metaphor of building and foundation so often because our walk with Jesus is something we need to build. There's a process. It doesn't just happen by chance the moment we choose to follow Jesus. We build on small decisions every day. So what are we building on? Are we building on Jesus? Are we following him? Are we hearing his words and living them out? Or are we simply giving lip service, saying we love and follow Jesus on Sundays, but then we're off building our own foundation, disregarding what we've heard? Because I will tell you this, regardless of where you are at in all of this, the storms of life will come. The hardships will flood in. Can your foundation stand strong? Now, I hate to break it to you today, but I do think that some of us have been the foolish builder. You know, we show up to church and we sing and we listen to the message and we think, wow, that was great. But then the rest of our week is spent living how we want, acting how we want, not giving a second thought to Jesus until it's time for church again on Sunday. You know, we love what Jesus can do for us. We love church. We love the community that it brings us. We love that Jesus loves us. We say that we love him back and that he saved us, but there is no evidence other than the words that we say that he has made any difference in our lives. We can so easily build the foundation of our lives on other things while still saying that we love and follow Jesus. We can build our foundation on our jobs, on our relationships, on our kids, on our success, on money, on feelings, on so many different things. Sometimes we might not even realize that we've made those things our foundation until it's too late. The hardship comes, the storm arrives, and we lose the thing that we had as our foundation, and suddenly we are wiped out. There's nothing left. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." So why do we keep trying? What does it look like to be the wise builder? To build our foundation on the rock? To build on the rock simply means to obey what God commands us in his word. We have to remember that this passage is the culmination of a much larger sermon in which Jesus is teaching how it looks to be a follower of him, how we're to live our lives. Basic to obedience is walking with him. So being a follower of Jesus and building on him as the foundation doesn't rest on us keeping rules, but on a viable relationship with Jesus, from which should emerge a life of faithfulness. If we claim to be followers of Jesus, our actions should not fail to match what we profess. Not because we have to tick the boxes to say we've done what we need to do, but because we have had an encounter with the living God. And when that happens, everything changes. Our priorities change. Our attitude changes. Our lifestyle changes. The way we speak changes. The way we see the world changes. The way we handle crisis changes. The way we relate to people changes. Everything changes. So as we draw nearer to Jesus, the more we know him. The more we know him, the more we want to be like him. The more we want to follow his ways. Being obedient to Jesus isn't just a requirement or something that we're forced to do. Jesus doesn't make us do anything. But obedience is a joyful response to the wonderful love and grace of Jesus that is freely given to us. When we build our lives on Christ as our foundation, when the storms come and when the hardships arise, we will not be shaken. Our foundation is solid and cannot be washed away. So, what are some practical things that we can do to draw nearer to Jesus, to know him more, and to be obedient to his teachings? The first thing is we need to slow down. We are so busy, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you that. But I think often one of the reasons that we end up building our foundation on the wrong things is because we become so consumed with all of the things in our lives that we deem important. We will give time to what we feel is important to us. We get caught up in work and at school. We get caught up in achievements and certain relationships that we might be chasing. We get caught up in the busyness of everyday life, like driving our kids to a million different things. The things that we spend our time on will ultimately become what we build the foundation of our lives on, either knowingly or unknowingly. So we need to slow down our lives. We need to take inventory of where we are at. We see in the Gospels that Jesus himself did this. He took time to slow down, to make sure that he was still giving time to the things he needed to. He took time away to spend with the Father. Maybe for you this week, it'll look like saying no to some things. It might look like prioritizing time with Jesus again. It might look like a full-on overhaul of you and your family's schedule. Now, this can feel like a lot, especially at the beginning of September, to slow down. It feels countercultural to the way we live. But how do you expect to spend the amount of time with Jesus you need to when you don't have any time left to give? Building your life on Jesus takes time. It takes time to learn what he's taught us. It takes time to learn how to be obedient to his leading. It takes time to know his voice. It takes intentional steps to truly make him the foundation of our lives, and that requires us to slow down. The second thing is we need to spend time in the Word. If obedience to Jesus' teachings is how we build a firm foundation in him, then we need to know his teachings. We need to know Jesus. We need to know his heart, his character. We need to know his voice. The really great thing is that we can hear him anytime. The Bible is where we go to learn the voice and the teachings of Jesus. The first four books in the New Testament are the accounts of Jesus' life and the teachings of him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four. His teachings are in there for us to read anytime. It's not enough to just listen to one of us here on a Sunday morning and leave it at that. It's not enough. We need the gathering of the church. We need the teaching of the word, but we also need to be spending time on our own in the word of God. We need to be spending time cultivating a relationship with Jesus on our own. We need to be learning and studying and wrestling through what we are reading in the Bible. If we want to follow the ways of Jesus, if we want to become more like him, then we need to know him. Have you ever spent a significant amount of time with someone before? You start to realize you've picked up some of their mannerisms, you start to sound like them, you start to move like them, act like them. The same thing happens with Jesus. But we can't expect that to happen when the only time that we spend with him is an hour and 15 minutes on most Sundays. We need to be in proximity to Jesus every day of our lives. Spending time in the word, spending time listening to his voice, spending time in worship and prayer. The third thing, we need to surrender. We're not very good at obedience. Unfortunately, it's human nature to want to do things our own way, to spend time doing what we want, acting however we want, prioritizing the things that will benefit us in the short term. I don't know if you've had this experience when you know the right thing to do. You know the right decision to make, but it's not one that you want to make, so you do the opposite. I don't know about you, but that has never, ever worked out for me. I think about my toddler. When I tell her to do something or I ask her to do something, her first response is, no. She's not even two yet. Pray for us. We don't like to give up control. We don't like to be told what to do or to surrender or be obedient. But if we want to build our lives on the rock, then we have to surrender. We have to come to a place where we know and believe that Jesus' way is better than our own. And this is an everyday decision. An everyday decision to come to Jesus and say, your will be done, not mine. Your kingdom come, not mine. Amen. Your glory, not mine. Jesus tells us that when we do this, when we surrender our lives and follow his way, when the storms come, when the pain rushes in, when our lives seem like they are falling apart, our house stays standing. Have you ever met someone who is walking through immense pain and suffering and somehow has joy? Somehow sees the good around them? Somehow still manages to give glory to God and trust that he is good? That is someone who has built their life on Christ as their foundation. And it did not happen by chance. It happened because they made the decision to surrender control. They made the decision to spend time in the word, to know the teachings of Jesus, and to put them into practice. To spend time with Jesus. They made the decision to slow down and build the foundation in the only place that would keep them standing when the storm came. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. A foundation built on him is the only one that will ever last. So we need to surrender control. Amen. And truly, what better place to build our foundation than on Jesus, the Savior of the world?